I'd like to read from John's Gospel, chapter 4. We'll start reading from verse 4. And he, that's Jesus, must needs pass through Samaria. He comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. The Samaritan woman therefore says to him, "How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no intercourse with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. The water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." And says to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." We come down to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and says to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I have ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who bore witness, "He told me all things that I had ever done." When therefore the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them, and he abode there 2 days. And more a great deal believed on account of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Saviour of the world." I'd just like to speak very simply and briefly tonight about finding satisfaction. And by satisfaction, I mean real satisfaction. It's a lifelong pursuit of men in the world to find it, you know. And there's very many ways in which they'll go about trying to find it, whether it be in the pursuit of a career, or perhaps in sport, the sporting world, or maybe even to try and win the lottery. Anything that they think will bring them satisfaction in their life down here. And you know, while these things that they seek after may bring satisfaction to some measure or some extent, it always ends up falling short. Something missing. And that is because, dear friends, the only way you can find true satisfaction is by finding peace with God. And you say to me, "Well, how is that to be found? How is that to be attained? Peace with God?" The answer is repentance towards him and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The matter of your sins, dear friends, has to be addressed. Do you realise, dear friends, that you are a sinner, first of all? Well, I can tell you on the authority of Scripture that you are. It tells us, "All have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So that doesn't exclude anyone. Also tells us that your sins have separated between you and your God. So how are we to get back to God? Well, dear friends, God has provided a way back to himself. By sending his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. What a story the gospel message is, you know. All began in that manger. Think of the joy of the heavenly host saw the Lord in that manger, you know. God manifest in flesh. Oh, wonder of the universe. God coming near to man. She touched us, you know, that he came in at such a weak point. He didn't come in with any pomp or grandeur. But you know, who was there? The Creator God. God manifest in flesh. Well, you think of the glory of that pathway. Think of him wending his way. The only sinless man to have ever walked this earth. Referred to it briefly this afternoon in Matthew, didn't we? When it says that they healed those who are suffering from diseases. But just one of the things that he did. Undoing the works of the devil, it says, for God was with him. Look at the effect the incoming of sin had had on the universe. Well, that pathway of perfection, you know. Think of God declaring his delight. Think of the heavens opening. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Well, that pathway of perfection, you know, was to end in the ignominy and shame of Calvary's cross. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous to him, says. There I learn God's heart to me. That's the heart of God, you know, told out to full extent is on Calvary's cross. The hymn says, you know, 'twas there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. Can you say those words? Can you sing those words from the heart? When the Lord took on the whole sin question, it was no light matter, you know. But the blessed God had to abandon Christ, you know. Think of that communion that he had throughout those 33 and a half years. Broken at that point. How essential it was, you know. Because Christ was made sin. The very thing that he hated, the very thing that he was not, he was made. Why? In order, you know, that God should have a righteous basis to come out in blessing to lost and found sinners like you and I. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The words of Christ, you know. How it should affect us. Think of how the Lord felt the abandonment. He knew full well why he'd been abandoned. Think of that scene, you know. Think of all that he endured. Not only suffering at the hands of a holy and righteous God, you know, and he took on that sin question, but think of what he suffered at the hands of men. Think of those that said to him, come down from the cross and we will believe on you, you know. Little did they know, you know, that he could have called upon 12 legions of angels and wiped that scene in judgment, you know. But, you know, if that had happened, there would be no gospel preaching tonight, would there? There would be no glad tidings to present to lost, ruined man. Thanks be to his name, you know, he endured it all. Think of that soldier piercing his side, forthwith coming out blood and water. Think of God's answer to the hatred of man. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, you know. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sins. Dear friends, are you sheltering under that precious shed blood tonight? The only real place of safety in this world. Nothing can wash away my sin but the blood of Jesus, nothing. I remember very clearly Eric McPhail in a preaching years ago in Blair saying that there's no stain remover on the supermarket shelves will get rid of your sin. Dear friends, by putting your faith and trust in this blessed Saviour, you know, you come under the shelter of that precious shed blood. And you know, God can look upon you and see the blood, see that blood, that perfection of that sacrifice. And he can look upon you, dear friends, as if you've never sinned. How wonderful is that? What a work was accomplished on Calvary's cross. You think, the Old Testament, in the old tabernacle system that God brought in, you think of all the animals that were slain. Think of all the blood that was slain here. Blood of ghouls and goats is incapable of taking away sin. But yet, that one perfect sacrifice of Jesus, you know, sufficient to cleanse every man, woman and child in the universe tonight. But you know, while the work has been done for all, you have to personally accept him for yourself. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Your friends, you have to accept that before God you are a sinner, and that as such you deserve nothing but judgment. But you accept the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Come under the shelter of that precious shed blood and be saved, not only for time, but for eternity. And that's what brings peace with God. That's what brings peace with God. Well, the question is, dear friends, do you have peace with God tonight? This woman in John 4 is a wonderful example of someone who found peace with God. True satisfaction. I love this setting out, you know, because it's a wonderful example of how the Lord deals with a sinner. He must needs pass through Samaria. You know, he came to Samaria to meet this woman. That's why he came. He knew this woman came to this fountain. He says he was wearied with the way he had come and sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. You know, the time is put in here, and I don't think it's put in as an afterthought. The sixth hour, you know, would have been the hottest part of the day. A time of day when no one would have been around. Most people would have been taking their rest, taking shelter from the heat. But you know, this was the time that this woman chose to come to the well. And you know, I think it was because she was ashamed, you know. This woman was ashamed. She had a history. And I didn't go over it, but the Lord goes over it with her. That, in that section I didn't read. The Lord goes over her history. You know, which one of us doesn't have a history? Things that we've done in our lives that we would prefer others didn't know about. You know, the Lord knew all about this woman. And he knows all about you and me. And he comes to meet her. And he engages her in conversation, you know, giving me to drink. How beautiful it is the way the Lord just draws aside her. You know, think of how this woman was tied to this well. Think of how she had to keep coming every day to satisfy her need. The Lord offers her something alternative, doesn't he? Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. Well, how true that is. She had to keep coming back day after day after day. What does it say? Whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. The woman says to him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She realized that what the Lord was offering her was something far greater. Well, as I say, I didn't read that section where the Lord goes over her history. But it had to be gone over. History had to be gone over and cleared, you know. And it's the same with us. Our histories have to be gone over and cleared, you know. But where I read in verse 28 was what I wanted to draw attention to, because it says, the woman then left her water. What she had relied upon throughout the whole of her life up till that point, she left behind. She had no further use for it. Why? Because she had a new source, and that was found in her Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who she typically accepted as her saviour. Well, what happens next? She goes into the city and says to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" So the woman became an evangelist. She was so full of what she had received in Christ, you know, that she wanted to share it with others. Come see a man. And that's the invitation in the gospel tonight. Come see a man. Is not he the Christ? Well, it says they came out to hear him. And you know, it was no longer on account of what the woman had said that they believed, but they had heard him themselves, and they knew that this was indeed the Saviour of the world. Well, what a wonderful success story, you might say. By securing this woman, you know, think of the myriads that had come into blessing as a result of her testimony. Well, dear friends, the wonder of the gospel message. This woman had typically found true, real satisfaction. She'd found it in Christ. Dear friends, do you have true satisfaction tonight? Do you know the joy? Do you have the joy of the knowledge of your sins forgiven? Are you sheltering under his precious shed blood? Do you have peace with God? I earnestly desire tonight, dear friends, that if you do not, that you'll come to him tonight. For he's seeking you. He's waiting for you. Jesus lingers still. It is for you he waits. Well, dear friends, may you come to him tonight. May you accept him for his name's sake.
Amen.